Katina, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. Now, firstly, just so we understand where this one's coming from, the fitness app itself, Strava, what does it actually do? What is it actually for?
It's to help athletes and people who want to get fit take waypoints and foot drive through the routes and to record basically their location as they're moving around. And there's obviously time, distance and speed associated with this. So you can compete with strangers, you can compete against yourself and try and break your PBs on the normal route that you do. But it's all about encouraging you to go back and try and get better and better, getting fitter.
And how was it discovered that it was posing something of a security risk to these military bases that we just mentioned in the Middle East and various conflict zones?
So a student happened to come across the Strava data set in an aggregated way. They're called heat maps, known as thematic maps, based on themes. And in this case, it was showing aggregated data for about 5 years, and particular roads were dark red if they were very much used by Fitbit trackers, Vito trackers, and other like jawbone trackers linked to the internet. So the GPS sensor on that device is linked up via some air interface via the mobile phone to a website, the Strava app, and was showing these heat maps. And, you know, his father purportedly came behind his shoulders and said, "Oh, son, you know, all that shows is some white rich guys who have Fitbits and can afford to buy this and to track their ability to go through different parts of the world." And the gentleman, given his research in the national security space, started to ponder, you know, what else can I see? So, you know, a lot of cyclists use Strava, but what national security folk didn't realize is that their own soldiers, for instance, are wearing these Fitbit trackers linking to the internet and showing very sensitive locations where there are bases, where there are special operations teams. And you could go into any part of the world, even North Korea, and show, you know, where potentially visitors have been in North Korea, or where there is actually a conflict zone occurring, and where the US has, you know, set up special operations somewhere in Yemen, for instance.
I mean, this sounds like an absolute security nightmare. We know for a fact that, you know, some insurgents in some of these regions we're talking about, particularly in the Middle East, have even used Google Maps in the past to try and map out some of these bases. And yet we see in this instance military personnel doing the job for them, literally mapping out the bases for them by uploading this data to this app.
That's very right, Sean. I think this is part of the new visibility landscape that you're talking about. It's well known that in the Mumbai attacks, dating back now, that they did use Google Maps to identify time, distance and speed and where different people, different terrorists would be situated in order to cause the mayhem. And what we need to know as listeners as well and citizenry is that this capability has been around way before this gentleman identified this on Strava. I mean, Strava is just one of a suite of many location-based social networking apps. And prior to these LBSN apps, which allow you to use the GPS sensor on a device and then share it online, what we had was Marconi Spot, very detailed satellite imagery. And as our satellites that we launch up into the airspace become better and have more powerful cameras on board, we can purchase tiles. They're called tiles of registered data sets of satellite imagery that can actually even identify people in a swimming pool and a hill's hoist outside. That's the level of detail you can now capture. So it's the people who have the propensity to pay. These tiles are very expensive. I remember when I was working in industry back in the late 90s, we would pay $100,000 for a tile of space that would maybe, say, be the size of the Illawarra. But who has $100,000? And so corporates did, governments did, they've always had access to this kind of data. They know what's out there. But now we have people acting as sensors and being data collectors. And that's a completely different paradigm shift. So we've got human activity monitoring and voluntary crowdsourcing of information to say, I'm here, I'm a human, and I'm wearing the sensor, I'm the person. And now you not only have satellite data or street view data with Google or surveillance video cameras on buildings, now I'm going to crowdsource and share my data online. But I think many people don't realize the privacy settings they have are not really the best that they could have. You can have user-defined zones to keep your life private, really.
Well, certainly I know with a lot of military personnel, they're obviously being warned about saying anything too foolish on social media or using, GPS data in social media and the like. But with something like this, I mean, it seems like a fairly significant oversight. Who is likely to take the blame for this one? Is it the personnel themselves or is it the fitness app Strava?
I think it's a very interesting point you make. Currently, a lot of people are just saying, well, just live with it. This is the world we live in. This is the transparent society that we live in. And it's better to be transparent. It's better to know where things are. We can hold people accountable like this. And interestingly, the US government, who provided 2,500 Fitbits in a pilot to reduce obesity in a particular area of their soldier base, have basically said, look, there's no security breach here. And what this shows me and demonstrates to a lot of people is almost the crowdsourcing effect. What will be open intelligence? Everything? Are we expected as citizenry to make our emails public in the future? Are we going to anyway to say, this is one way to keep everyone honest and to know where everyone is on the Earth's surface? So law enforcement currently do use social media like Facebook as their one-stop shop for investigations. It's the cheapest way to find out more on suspects. But what next? Are we going to be lured into this consumer electronics world that says share everything openly and do it without any, risk to privacy or concern to privacy? But this has massive implications for human rights, freedom, the ability for people to go about their business in any which way they want. But you're going to have employees being told go down this route based on the optimization of the data set that we now have available through Strava or through any layer of information in what's called geographic information system. So you can overlay layer upon layer. You might start with satellite data. You then go over it with street data. You then superimpose another layer, which is people on it as they move. And the last frontier is when people put on location-based video recording devices. So it's not just a Fitbit going location stamp, you've just moved 30 seconds. It's going to be a Fitbit with a constant recorder, almost like a Jiminy Cricket on you saying, are you doing the right thing today? Oh, we can drill down and look at what you're looking at on this map today. And people might be thinking this is far-fetched, but it's not. People are already doing this and saying, well, we should have everything open. If I can go to Google Maps and go to Google Latitude and use Street View to comb the streets, then perhaps the next thing is People View. And that's ubervalence. That's what we define as ubervalence, the identity, the location, the condition of an individual, and even photographic imagery that denotes their state and context.
Yeah, once upon a time, we were worried Big Brother was going to put cameras in every single house. The government was going to monitor us 24/7 by putting cameras in the house, and then we put the cameras on ourselves. It's a very strange turnaround. Katina, do appreciate your time. Really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you, Sean.